The funny thing, see, about Irish is you put it backwards. Cade Míle Fáilte, Os Radio Television Os Thrall. I will be back in the twinkling of an eye with Tony Fitzbaldwin, Kevin O'Dowley, Paddy Smalley, Paddy Whitford, Lance Fitzcurtis, Siobhan O'Hayden, Vic McDavies, Malcolm Fitzlees, Jill McKay, and Diana Smith. To Arthur Greenslade and the Bondi broadcasters, Araleigh Sarah. On Shocking Show, to Kaylee Music us on Jimmy Gland Pipe Band, and when they made them, they threw away the mould. But meanwhile, we're slightly out to lunch. Slaunch a bath.
Okay, mate, pull over.
Yes, officer, what is it?
Calmer, squad. I'm Sergeant Sadada. This is Constable Bodhisattva. We've reason to believe you're driving under the influence of bad vibes.
No, honestly, officer, I haven't been uncool all day.
Breathe into this mantra, please, sir.
No,
you're groovy. Okay, so where's the celestial fire?
Beg your pardon?
Where were you tearing off to in such a hurry?
Oh, I'm on my way to Nirvana.
Yeah, aren't we all? This your karma?
Yeah, of course.
Huh. Well, you'll never reach loss of selfhood and absorption to the world's soul in this, mate.
Why not?
Well, look at it. Your perceptions are faulty, your consciousness has got a whopping dent in it. The chassis is just about eaten through by lust and your windscreen wipers don't work.
Is that serious?
Serious? A karma like this can get you 15 years as a gnat. And you wouldn't want to be reincarnated as a gnat now, would you, son?
No, of course not.
Yeah, we'll get it fixed then.
Yeah, I will. And then can I go to Nirvana?
Well, not this way, I'm afraid. You've got the wrong dharma. And to get to eternal bliss and enlightenment from here, mate, you've got to take the pathway of duty according to your class. Then go left along the route of material gain, take the first turn off to love and the aesthetic enjoyment of life on your right, and it's straight in front of you. You can't miss it. It says Nirvana in big flashing neon.
Oh, thanks a lot, officer. I really appreciate this.
That's all right, son. We get a lot of Presbyterians along here.
On ABC Radio, the Right Honourable Sir Horace Tuckerbox, OA, speaks to the nation.
Oh, crikey, I don't know how these rumours get started, but there's a terrible furphy doing the rounds at the prison time that the Petrov affair was a put-up job. Everybody and his brothers got the ridiculous idea it was something Bob Menzies dreamed up to discredit the Labour Party. Listen, there was no need for Menzies to do that. No need at all, because by then, poor old Doc Evatt wasn't the full quid. Not the full bottle of beer at all. Look, I've known them all in my time, all the colourful roosters round the place, and I tell you this, Doc Evatt's handicap, and I might have mentioned this in a previous chat, his biggest handicap, apart from being radio rental, was his voice, his speaking voice. Now, I know the Australian electorate. I wasn't the federal member for Larrigan for 32 years for nothing. And the Australian electorate doesn't want some pommy voice poofter talking down to them. But by the same kettle of fish, they don't want a bush lawyer with adenoids talking to them either. And that was what Doc Evatt sounded like. But I'm straying off the point here. See, I've known all these fellas over the years. Eddie Ward was another one. Oh, Streethy was a card, Eddie. Hardly a parliamentary session went by without the Speaker saying, I name the member for East Sydney, and Eddie'd be out in his ear again. See, he used to make a fundamental mistake of timing. He'd come straight into the house from the members' bar, and the Speaker would always assume when he started yelling hooligan insults at the top of his voice, he was full. Arthur Caldwell was another one. I don't mean he was a drunk. No, for heaven's sake, he was a papal knight. But there again, you see, this proves my point. Arthur had a frightful voice, too. Sounded as if he was gargling in a gravel pit. Compared to Arthur Caldwell, Bob Hawke sounds like Laurence Olivier or Leonard Teal or someone. There was another bloke started out around about that time, Bob Santa Maria. You can still see him on TV if you want to judge for yourself. Well, he had an incredible voice on him. Crossed between a cardinal and a bookie. I'd never buy a used car of a bloke with a voice like that. Not that I'd buy a used car anyhow. No, Lady Tuckerbox and myself run round in a Merc these days. Got the number plate Horry, H-O-R-R-I-E, so people would know who they was dealing with in the members' car park and that. Anyhow, as I say, I knew the Petrov affair inside out. Oh, yes, I was there. Now, this is Horry, Sir Horace Tuckerbox, at the penthouse, Regency Towers, setting history straight. Hooroo!
About to go out on the town to that glittering formal ball. Your dress looks great, but whoops! That tarnished old silver and gold jewelry looks drab and worthless. What to do? Don't worry anymore. Just dip them in new Snuff-It Metal Remover. Snuff-It Metal Remover will completely dissolve that tarnished old jewelry, making it disappear without a trace so that you can claim insurance and replace them with shiny new ones. Isn't that so simple? Snuff-It, making your life a little bit easier.
G'day, and welcome to Macho Flower Arranging. Now, a lot of people still think that flower arranging is just for women and sissies. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Flower arranging today is every bit a man's sport as long-distance basket weaving and interior decorating with sharks. It takes raw courage and nerves of steel and incredible physical strength. And last but not least, flowers. And that's the hard part. Because to get them, you have to go to a flower shop.
Give me a bunch of gladioli, half a dozen carnations, a fistful of daisies, and some daffs.
Yeah, make me.
Then, once you've got your flowers, you have to get yourself a vase.
Okay, machete, I've got you covered. Now drop that vase and put your hands up.
But try and make sure it's in one piece. Then, finally, using all your brute strength, animal cunning and eye for colour and harmony, arrange the flowers in the vase.
The crowd's going wild here as Morello circles the chrysanthemums looking for an opening. His footwork is incredible and he has the flowers completely bluffed. Now he makes a feint with his right at the chrysanthemum, but picks up a bit of dry twig with his left instead. This is fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. He's got the dry twig and he's ramming it between the dandelions and the African ferns in the most dynamic display of flower arranging since Muhammad Ali accidentally put a piece of wattle up his nose.
And that's basically how you do it. Of course, I haven't gone into all the finer points like the special holds for roses and what to do if you're cornered by a wild begonia. But these are things you can only pick up.
Haven't you finished arranging that bloody vase yet, Harry? The women will be here any moment to do kung fu.
Sorry, dear. The room's all yours.
Homegrown, I gave you all the best years of my life. I raised you all from tiny seeds and you landed me in stride. Lucrative career, singing country with my band. Both flying out the door for a few million dope clowns. But you're always for home use only. You're always for home use only.
If it was true, I wouldn't lie. We'd smoke at least my wife and I. Almost a kilo in one cone and that's 200 cones a night. I swear it's true, I wouldn't lie. Look at the bags under my eyes. This is just shameful persecution and I know my rights.
It was always for home use only. It was always for home use only.
It was true as always.
That's true as always.
I swear it's true.
Homegrown,
I gave you all the best years of my life. I raised you all from tiny seeds and you landed me in stride. A lucrative career singing country with my band. Those flying out the door for a few million dope plans.
But you're always for home use only. You're always for home use only.
It's true, I wouldn't lie, we'd smoke at least my wife and I. Almost a kilo in one cone and that's 200 cones a night. Well, it's true, I wouldn't lie. Look at the bags under my eyes. This is just shameful persecution and
I know my right. You're always for home use only. It's always for home use only. It's always for home use only. It's always for home use only.
Hmm.
Excuse me, are you the real estate agent?
Yes, that's me, Honest Ed, tool user from Honest Ed's Real Estate, largest dealer in properties to evolving primates all along the Rift Valley. You must be, don't tell me, Mr. and Mrs. Pithecanthropus.
That's right. I'm Wally Pithecanthropus, and this is my wife, Jean.
Hello.
We're looking for a cave.
Something nice.
Of course you are, just down from the trees and interested in evolving, aren't you? Well, just shuffle along this way.
We don't want anything too expensive. This is our first cave.
I'm sure this little bargain will be well within your means. And notice this attractive rock platform out the front. Perfect for entertaining and for chipping those flints. By the way, Wally, what do you do?
Oh, I collect nuts and berries at the moment, but I'm thinking of moving into hunting.
Good idea. It's the coming thing. Now, you'll notice some handy bison in the distance, and this whole area is zoned for savannah when the ice age advances.
What about shopping?
No problem, Mrs. P. There's a waterhole at the bottom of the path, and the local salt lick is just 5 minutes away.
Oh.
Now, let's have a look inside, shall we? Mind your sloping foreheads.
That doorway could be a problem when I learn to stand upright.
But look at this place. Spacious, well-ventilated, no saber-tooth tigers.
Oh, I do like the paintings. Oh, what lovely bison.
Yes, there's lots of magical power in these little beauties. Just the thing if you're going into hunting, Wally.
Are floor coverings included?
Yep, all the dirt's included. And look over here, a fireplace!
What's a fireplace?
I'm not sure, but I'm certain you'll find a use for it someday.
Well, I'm sold. What about you, dear?
I think it's lovely.
All this can be yours for only 12 obsidian hand axes.
Very reasonable. Mm.
Just chip your stick figure onto this contract and it's yours. Beauty, and I hope you enjoy your new cave.
Thank you, Ed. Well, darling, what is for dinner?
What about him?
Oh, yeah.
No!
Master Wong.
Oh, what is it, Glasshopper?
I am troubled, Master Wong.
What troubles you, Glasshopper?
It is the chalk and the liquid. They have become as one.
You see, Glasshopper, it did get in. Did I not tell you it would be so, as it is with the egg and the milk bottle?
Oh, Master Wong, there is so much I have yet to learn.
But, Glasshopper, you are not yet ready. When you can take the disclosing tablet from my hand, then you are ready to go out into the world. But remember your traveler's checks. Don't reap the temple without them.
Scalpel. Swab. Blunt nose clamp.
Oh, stop calling me names.
You are a suture on my creativity. Janetta, a pair of forceps on my manhood.
I'm not going to let you cut the roast with a scalpel, and that's final.
But I have to practice my surgery. Keep the old hand steady.
Oh, you're obsessed with surgery. We never go out, we've got no friends anymore, and you're ignoring your own family. Look at him, poor little Freddy's asthma. It just gets worse and worse. Listen to it. Go on, darling, go outside and get some fresh air.
Son, while you're at it, you can do a biopsy on the cat. There's a good boy.
Oh, Harold. What? Here I am, trying to create a normal family environment. What are you doing? You're not helping, dear.
Aren't I?
Demanding x-rays and pathology reports on every meal. And half the dogs in the street only have one kidney left. Really, dear.
But it's important research. It could save lives if I just solve the problem of rejection.
Rejection? What about my problem of rejection? We never talk anymore. I'm always sweeping up spleens and gallbladders, and our sex life is ridiculous. That hard table, those arc lights, and all those people in white gowns standing around.
Yes, but it makes me feel more comfortable.
That's because you're obsessed with surgery, dear.
Yes, maybe I am obsessed. But do you want to know why? Because surgery is about helping people, saving lives, curing illnesses, easing pain.
Oh, I know that.
Being a surgeon is more than just a job. It's a calling, a sacred trust. And it's been good to us. It's given us this home, educated our children, given us all the material possessions we could ever want.
Oh, yes,
and it's given us more than that. The respect of our fellow man, the knowledge that people will walk down the street, point at this house and say, a surgeon lives there.
But Harold, dear, I'm the surgeon.
Yes. But I'm learning all the time. Listen, could I borrow the heart-lung machine again tonight, darling?
From across the overseas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theatre. It's the Cooey Newsreel.
London and Australia's gallant underwater cricket team plunge into the Kennington Municipal Baths for the first test match in the Battle for the Drakes, the underwater equivalent of the Ashes. Our wet-suited Cooey cameraman braves the chilly conditions to capture the action on film. Fast bowler Greg Kilgill, bubbling with enthusiasm, surges forward with a thrashing flipper action. His first ball is a vicious floater that glides past the batsman's air hose. Wide gurgles the umpire, and England notch up their first length. Yes, these boys are having a whale of a time as the battle for the dregs begins at historic Kennington Baths. Bolivia. And in the streets of colourful La Paz, high in the Andes, Australian expatriate Norm Colick has a daunting task. For a bet, Norm offered to eat the cost of a meal in local currency, and the restaurateur is holding him to it. Thousands have gathered in the square of the Blessed Gourmet to watch Norm keep his side of the bargain. And the cost of a meal in La Paz? A staggering 50 million pesos. Several lorries deposit the banknotes in a huge pile, and Norm sets to work with salt and pepper and a suitcase full of indigestion powder. But 9 hours later, a bloated Norm concedes defeat. "I'm stuffed," he groans. "This is too rich for me." Yes, Norm, you certainly bit off more than you could chew in superinflationary La Paz. Brisbane. And Premier Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen arrives to commission a brand new electricity generating plant. The new plant, the most modern of its kind in the southern hemisphere, will run on frozen mud imported from Scandinavia. The brainchild of Sir Joe himself, the new plant will not come on stream for some time, owing to minor technical problems. But Sir Joe exudes confidence as he breaks a trade unionist over the main mud pipe. "This is all I ever hoped, and they don't know. Here in Queensland, golly, I can see by the look on your face," beams Sir Joe. "My word, it's all over bar the shouting." Queensland's favourite son strikes a blow for progress in Bonnie Brisbane. The South Pole, and the familiar figure of Sir John Keish, here on a visit sponsored by the Australian government. As Sir John surveys the icy waste from his ermine-trimmed snowmobile, our Cooey reporter attempts to ask him the reasons for the trip. But now there is near tragedy as Sir John accidentally runs over our reporter in the snowmobile, and in an attempt to get the vehicle under control, knocks over our camera as well. Miraculously, our reporter escapes unhurt, and the camera is undamaged. But Sir John is too shaken to speak, and is helped away by officials to his personal helicopter. Sir John once more evades disaster on the icy wastes of Antarctica. The Cooey Newsreel, across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Hello, viewers. I'm Tony Medler. I'm here at Elsinore Castle, where our guest tonight is just coming down from
that
the battlements.
Is the question.
Let's give him a surprise.
Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings
excuse
and arrows
me.
Of outrageous fortune.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Prince Hamlet of Denmark.
Yes.
This is your life.
Oh, really? No, it can't be happening. Oh, look at me, my doublet's all unbraced.
Hamlet, you were born to wealthy and powerful parents at Elsinore in Denmark.
Oh, yes.
Teachers described you as both a moody and indecisive child.
Oh, really?
But you also had a well-developed sense of fun.
True.
I'm going to bring on one of your old playmates from that time.
Boy, Yorick, I knew him, Tony. Where did you manage to dig him up?
I understand you two were great friends.
Yes, yes. Ah, Yorick, remember how you used to carry me on your shoulders?
If I might just interrupt you two for a second there. Hamlet, do you recognize this voice?
Murder! Murder most foul!
Dad!
That's right. It's the ghost of your murdered father. Unfortunately, Mr. Hamlet Sr. couldn't get away from purgatory to be with us tonight, but he does send this message.
Avenge me!
Oh, that's just like Dad. He used to pour drinks in his ear at parties.
Another old friend now. Someone you once told to get to a nunnery.
Not Ophelia.
Hello, Hamlet. Have a daisy. By that willow that grows at Slander Brook.
Oh! You certainly have some interesting friends. But I wonder if you can guess who's hiding behind this curtain.
Behind the curtain? A rat!
Ah!
Polonius. How are you?
That's right, Polonius. And standing behind you, flown in especially from Paris, we have Polonius' son.
Laertes! I haven't seen you since...
Good night, sweet prince. This was your life. And good night, viewers. Please join us again next week when we take our cameras up through Burnham Wood to Dunsinane and tell a certain Scottish nobleman and his lovely wife, this is your life.
Well, here's Tony Paddy Hozio to sing a really insipid song. Tony Paddy Hozio.
Really insipid song, really insipid song, a song that's as insipid as it's long. A sickly melody which rhymes with memory, and then again, so does a piece of cheese. A romance cut me up, now you won't shut me here. I just live to sing my insipid song. Our love affair is gone, and I'll go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Really insipid song, this really insipid song goes on and on and on and on, goes on and on and on, it just keeps going on and 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 on.
Could you turn the cue card on?
And on and on and on and on and on, the song goes on and on and on and on. Just keeps going on and on. My God, it's long. It's really insipid.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, it's nice to be with you again, and as usual I'm speaking to you from my busy surgery here at the clinic in Drainage Hills, and this week's letter comes from Dennis Dudgeon of Morbid Town. Yes, the development out there is dying down a bit, I understand, Dennis, and you're right. Dear Bruce, last month I went to see a real fantastic movie called Dune, and I would love to have a giant sandworm like in the movie. Where do they come from and how could I get one? Gee, Dennis, I really wish I could be more encouraging here, but I'm afraid the government of the country where they filmed the giant sandworms made the producers promise not to reveal the location of these creatures to anyone in the outside world. But I can tell you this much, Dennis. Australian scientists are looking for a local equivalent at this very moment. Yes, an expedition left Adelaide recently, travelling by camel, and led by a very distinguished man called Lassiter in search of the giant worm, and they have every expectation of coming across one sooner or later. But I also want to say something else here, Dennis, about fixation. It's quite easy in the stressful modern world to become fixated on certain things, in other words, obsessed by them. And it does seem to me, frankly, that you are a little bit inclined to be the obsessive type. I've had a handwriting expert examining your letter, and he confirms this. And what you have to watch out for in your case, apart from this business about the giant worms, is the tendency to homicidal mania. The handwriting expert does assure me that if your personality is allowed to develop unchecked, that an extremely violent outburst is likely to occur. He thinks an airport massacre was on the cards, actually, or possibly a supermarket atrocity. So please, Dennis, for your own sake and the safety of the entire community, see a psychiatrist without delay. They have wonderful drugs to control all this sort of thing. This is Bruce Lose's saying, a stitch in time could save 9 sutures.
Are you too timid? Are you a shrinking violet? Do you have trouble getting people to do what you want them to? Good, because people like you are suckers for ads like this. Yes, you too can become the sort of person who can easily resist this blatant preying on your insecurities by simply enrolling in our assertiveness training course. Using practical exercises, sophisticated psychology, and the minimum of actual violence, we can teach you how to be more forceful with others and not leave any telltale bruises. Our course covers every possible situation where that extra bit of assertiveness can help. There's how to ask for a raise by putting the boot in, kung fu the salesman friend, win the respect of your children with a chainsaw, and garrote your way to success. It's fun, it's simple, and almost completely painless. Just send your name and all your worldly belongings to Yes, I Want to Be More Assertive, I Think, care of Colonel Martin Mad Dog Woman, Johannesburg Police Department, Johannesburg. Act now, before we smash your face in.
Good morning, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a heart transplant, please.
Certainly, sir. Is this for yourself or is it a gift?
No, for myself. My doctor tells me that if I don't get a new heart within 24 hours, I'm a goner.
Yeah, what, sir?
A goner. Dead, deceased.
Oh. You will be able to pay cash then, sir?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm sure we'll be able to accommodate you then. Take a seat, please. Now then, what size are you?
I take an 8.5 extra wide.
Okay, an extra wide, eh? Be a bit tricky. I've got an 8.5 medium.
No, I really would prefer an extra wide.
It's a very nice heart, sir. Italian, with very elegant lines and a tastefully flared aorta. I think it would suit you.
Thank you, but it really would be too small.
Right, okay. Too small. Right. I've got a 9 in extra wide, sir. This is a good heavy-duty heart. Only one previous owner, a man who chewed granite for a living.
I don't think so.
Right. Okay, no, all right. What about a woman's heart, then? I can do you an 8.5 extra wide in women's, which is virtually the same as the men's, only the stitching's different.
Look, don't you have any hearts in my size?
Well, not on a Thursday, sir.
Not on a Thursday?
Pension day, sir. The minute they get their checks, the pensioners around here buying up everything in sight. The 8.5's always the first to go.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Does it have to be a heart, sir?
What do you mean?
Well, you see, spleen transplants are very fashionable these days, and as luck would have it, we've just received a big shipment from Madrid.
Spleens?
Yes. A fabulous collection, finest quality, both left and right-handed spleens.
I don't know. I really had my heart set on a heart.
Of course you did, sir, but you just can't get them these days. Whereas if you snap up one of these spleens now, you're ahead of the game. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a new spleen and a kidney for the price of a heart job.
Well,
okay. And I'll throw in a new larynx, but I am cutting my own throat here.
Done. But I'm still a bit worried about my heart.
Are you sure you need it, sir?
I don't get you.
What line of work are you in? See, sometimes having a heart can be a real handicap.
I'm a bank manager.
Problem solved, then.
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Vic Davies, Malcolm Lees, Ken Matthews, Steve Johnson, David Witt, Peter Smalley and George Faithful. Original music this week by Vic Davies and Malcolm Lees. Cooey Newsreel consultant is Robert Parker, script editor Julianne Ford, production assistance by Linda Hughes and Sylvia Karloff, sound effects John Farkas, technical production by Warwick Maver, slightly out to lunch produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.